This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you.
Above all, hold unfailing your love for one another, since love covers a multitude of sins.
Let all that you do be done in love.
Now on Patchwork Heart Radio, this is Remember You Are Loved Live with your hosts Martha Fernandez-Sardina and Bill Snyder.
Welcome to Remember You Are Loved Live. This is Martha Fernandez-Sardina. I'm the founder and director of RememberYouAreLoved.com with my buddy and partner in ministry,
Bill Snyder, the founder of Patchwork Heart Ministry, broadcasting up here in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. The snow is finally melting slowly.
That's good. Well, let's hope that it will get warm soon, because people are tired of so much snow. Although I think somewhere in Europe there was a 100 inches of snow recently in 24 hours. So thank God I'm in San Antonio, Texas. And here we are. We continue this journey of faith during this Lenten season. We're going from Ash Wednesday through Spy Wednesday. Spy Wednesday is a name that is given to that Wednesday that precedes the Easter Triduum, we call it, those 3 days in which we intensify all that we've been doing throughout the Lenten season. And it's called Spy Wednesday because there's that tradition that Jesus was spied on. And, of course, Judas betrays him. And then we know the rest of the story. And we're preparing our hearts to enter into that history, that story of salvation. And so as we continue to reflect, we're in the middle, of course, of a week as we begin our reflections, because it's wrapping up week three and beginning soon week four of the Lenten season. And as we continue, Bill, to meditate on the different daily readings that the church provides for our pondering, for our reflection, and for our conversion, we get more and more intense. And as we see on Thursday of the third week of Lent, the Lord is calling his people back to conversion. And it's almost as if that were written from the book of Jeremiah yesterday, you know, that the Lord is calling his people to listen. But what do? We turn our backs. We pay no heed. We obey not. The prophet Jeremiah says they walked in the hardness of their evil hearts and turned their backs, not their faces, to me. That's a serious thing. I mean, if I were walking with you and suddenly I just turned around and turned my back on you, or I don't know, Bill, if this happened to you growing up, but sometimes our parents are talking to us and we, in an act of defiance, turned around. That was a big no-no, wasn't it?
Absolutely, it was a big no-no.
You just don't turn your back on your father, on your mother. It was not good. And so that's exactly what this stiff-necked people, Jeremiah calls them, do to the Lord. And then there's that cry to the Lord, and the Lord's own cry to us, not to harden our hearts, that we may hear his message of salvation, that we may be restored. And there's some powerful words in this first day that we're reflecting on here, where the Lord is calling them to see what he is about and not to see something other than what he is. Because at one point, the people of Jerusalem call him Beelzebul, or rather that he's working with the power of Beelzebul, that he's aligned with Satan. And Jesus says, listen, if Satan is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? So he's calling each one of us to recognize who he is, where he gets the power to work what he does, and where he gets the authority to challenge us to change. And he does have authority to call us to change, to conversion. And he rewards us, he blesses us, he enriches our lives the more we respond to that invitation. Isn't that our experience?
I believe so. I believe so. And that's echoed so beautifully in the readings and in the prayers as well. When we really begin to look at the prayer after communion and the prayer, listen to that. It's graciously raise up, O Lord, those you renew with this sacrament, that we may possess your salvation both in mystery and in the manner of life through Christ our Lord. And that's what the priest says, the prayer after communion. Beautiful. It just sums it everything up so nicely.
It is. And that's exactly what we need to say to the Lord in our hearts, because he's always willing to take us back. I'm always touched by the readings from the book of Hosea. And we have that on Friday of this third week of Lent. Hosea is called by the Lord to take his wife, who is an adulterous woman who has betrayed him, who has been unfaithful. And it's an imagery of the Lord who loves us with the love of a spouse, of a husband toward his wife. The bride of Christ, of course, is the church. And we see in this reading from Hosea that even though we have been unfaithful and are filthy with iniquity and we've sinned against the Lord, he is willing to heal our defection. He is willing to love us back to himself. And that is, in fact, the cry of the Lord. That is the call of the Lord during this Lenten season. You've turned your back on me. You've been unfaithful to me, but I will take you back if you but hear, O Israel, the voice of the Lord. And we have that in the Gospel of St. Mark for Friday of the third week of Lent. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is your God, the Lord alone. Yep. Is your God. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And then Jesus adds to the great Shema, to the great commandment of love, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That is how we show a real conversion of heart. That's how we really show that we are willing to enter into this covenant of love that God has established with mankind, and he wishes to renew in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And that, Bill, that's the goal of Lent. That's why I like to say that Lent is for lovers.
Absolutely. And you know, the one thing that sticks out in that gospel reading where Jesus, he basically takes the Ten Commandments and he sums them up into three sentences, right? And I just love that because we can look at the first three, you know, love God with all your whole heart, mind, and soul, and strength, right? He sums that up. And those first three commandments, and then the other seven remain. And by loving God, by loving our neighbors as ourselves, and when we do that, we live the complete law in three sentences. Jesus really makes it so succinct, and I hate to use the word easy, but it's not easy. It's succinct, and it's definable, and it's clear. He makes it clear, and I think that that is something that we sometimes need, a clear understanding. And then I'm looking at the psalm reading, right? And you hear the psalm from the Friday. It says, I am the Lord your God, hear my voice. That's the response. I am the Lord your God, hear my voice. It's almost a command to listen to God. It's a command to listen to God. How do we listen to God? It is by loving God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and your neighbor as yourself. When you do those things, you see those things, and that commandment is a command to love. It's a command to be a part of God's grace in this world. It's to spread his grace, to spread his love. And that's what Lent is about, spreading that love. As you said, Lent is for lovers.
It's preparing us to be lovers all year round. And though it is not always easy, it is not difficult. It is possible. Otherwise, the Lord would not be commanded it. And of course, we know from Romans 5:5 that the love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we do have what it takes. We have the love ability. I like to call it the ability to love others. If we return to the Lord, as we see in the first reading for Saturday of the third week of Lent, that they in fact hear in the book of Hosea, they hear the call to return. And so they say, come, let us return to the Lord. It is he who has rent, but he will heal us. He's the one who has struck us, but he will heal our wounds. But then the book of Isaiah right there says that it's almost as if it were fading. You know, we sometimes say we're going to change, we're going to convert, we're going to love more and love better. And yet, immediately, if we're not careful, if we don't make a real purpose, if we don't avail ourselves of the tools that we need to keep that love alive and that conversion going, it'll fade away, you know? And so the Lord is continuously calling us again and again to live love. And there's something very interesting, which we'll see more than once throughout the season of Lent. In fact, we see that throughout the whole year, that the Lord is saying, it is love and mercy that I desire and not sacrifice. And we already reflected on this, I believe, the first week. Well, I thought we were doing sacrifices for Lent. Yes, but the sacrifices must be an expression of the love for God and neighbor that you have in your heart, that I have in my heart. Otherwise, they're empty sacrifices. He doesn't want burnt offerings and holocaust unless they are love imbued. And that's why we need to be very, very vigilant about what it is that's going on in our hearts. Because as the Lord says in the parable of Luke 18 on that Saturday of the third week of Lent, Two men go up to pray. One's a Pharisee who was so full of himself, so proud of himself, that he starts comparing himself to everyone else, including the tax collector, who's the second man who goes to pray in this parable. And it says that the Pharisee took up his position and spoke this prayer, get this, Bill, to himself, not to God. Because when you talk so full of yourself about how good you are in the eyes of God and yourself, you're really not praying. You're just talking to yourself. It doesn't go anywhere. And he says, oh God, I thank you that I'm not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or even like the tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes on my whole income. And Jesus says, but the tax collector stood off at a distance and would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but he beat his breast and prayed, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus then says, I tell you, the latter went home justified, not the former, not the proud Pharisee. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. The one who humbles himself will be exalted. So we see as we continue and wrap up the third week of the season of Lent and go into the second half, we see that the Lord is calling us more and more to a deeper and deeper conversion that goes to the heart of the matter, which is the heart of man, the heart of mankind. Where do I stand before God? How do I see myself in the eyes of God? And how do I look at and love others? How's that for a challenge, Bill?
That is a tall order, a very, very tall order and challenge, but one that is attainable. And why? Because I think we get the answer on Sunday, don't we?
We do.
We get the answer on Sunday. It's attainable. Why? Because God came into the world to love us and to be with us. So we see on this fourth Sunday, in fact, I think this is probably one of my favorite gospel readings out of the entire year.
Why is that our favorite? Huh? Because it says that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. But it doesn't end there, does it, Bill?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. And it continues. Listening to this, it says, whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned because he has not believed in the name of the Son of God. And this is the verdict, that the light came into the world, but people preferred darkness to light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come toward the light, so that his works might not be exposed. But whoever lives the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God. How beautiful is that? It's this faith, but also this faith with great works. And
right,
to live with God in the light, to...
And the light is what actually shows us what we might otherwise be blind to. It shows us that we are not right with God and where we can become right with God, where we're not right with neighbor, and where we must become right with neighbor. So loving the light is what liberates us from our own sin and our darkness and our own blindness, isn't it?
Absolutely it is. And these are the things we have to focus on at this particular week. This particular week by working for the kingdom.
And you know, as we move forward then during the fourth week of Lent, the Lord continues to call us to be his, to that new heavens and new earth where there will be joy and delight if we repent, if we align ourselves with God, if we allow him to build a covenant with us, to build his own dwelling within us so as not to be slaves to sin and to allow him to heal us just as he does on that Monday of the fourth week of Lent, the son of the centurion, I believe it is, and to allow us to have a faith that leads us to believe that God is able to do what God is willing and desirous of doing. And during that fourth week of Lent, we also then have that beautiful meditation smack in the middle of the week on Wednesday, in which the Lord says that He is like his Father, that it's like Father, like Son. The work that the Father is doing, the Son is doing, that he has come to not to condemn the world, but to bring us to life, but that we must believe, we must hear his voice and come out so that we might do the good deeds that lead to resurrection and life and not to the resurrection of condemnation. So, Bill, we've got a lot to meditate on this week. We've got a lot to look closely at within our hearts so as to invite the Lord to make us the men and women that he has created us to be. And the holier I become, the better for you. And the holier you become, the better it is for me, because you and I and everyone who is listening to us and everyone we know will become what I like to call a lover and a love messenger for the greater glory of God and the good of his people.
Amen. What a great message for us this week. I want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in to us this week, and to stay tuned because we have more for you next week. This has been Remember You Are Loved Live on Patchwork Heart Radio with my co-host Martha Fernandez-Sardina. I am Bill Snyder. Thank you for listening. Until next week, God bless.
And remember, you are loved.
For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Remember You Are Loved Live. This production is a joint initiative of Patchwork Heart Ministry and Prepare the Way Enterprises and may not be reproduced or distributed without express written consent. For more information about Remember You Are Loved Live, please email info@patchworkheart.org or info@rememberyouareloved.com.